You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Open your action. Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? Don't worry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's going
to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football alongside Jeff Robinson, Coach Simmons, and John Easter back in the studio. I'm Grant Kobe, your host for this evening. The Giants hosted the Lawrence North Wildcats last week for homecoming 2018, and the Giants, they get the win 38-28. Coach, this win got you back to 500 on the season and 500 in the Metropolitan Conference play. Take us through that game and what you saw from your team that allowed a 10-point victory on Friday night.
Yeah, you know, I felt like there were a lot of pros and cons really on both sides of the ball. When you look, I felt like our special teams were solid throughout. We've gotten really good, solid special teams play all year from Darian Herbert at the long snapper spot, short snapper spot. Ty Nibbs has been an all-state punter for us. You know, you look at his hang time and you look at the get-off time, the operations time for our punt team has been phenomenal. I think Zach Fox has handled his kicking duties really well. Changed up some kickoff things this week and showed some different kicks, and Zach handled that well. Isaac Torres did a nice job as well. So I feel like we got really good productivity out of our kicking game. When you look at you look at the defensive side of the ball, Grant, we defended 70 plays Friday night, which is a lot. 53 of those plays, we gave up a total of 58 yards. You know, if you give up 1.04 yards per play, you're doing something really well defensively. But the other 17 plays, you know, we gave up, you know, 360 yards roughly. And so, you know, for us, it's about being consistent. It's about establishing a level of consistency that's going to allow us to be successful from start to finish in the game. We had points in the first quarter, points in the third quarter, where I felt like defensively we were dominating the game. Certainly in the late third, early fourth quarter, we got back-to-back stops followed by back-to-back 15-yard penalties. And you just can't do that. You know, that's completely unacceptable. And we've addressed those things this week. Conversely, on the offensive side of the ball, we had 12 possessions. We were trying to figure out the total number of possessions, but we had 11 or 12 possessions. We had 7 scores. The 4 possessions at the end of the half, 2 interceptions, and then a punt. And so, you know, if we score 7 times offensively, we're going to feel really good about ourselves. You know, were we in a position to score more had we not, you know, had the 2 turnovers? You bet. The end of the half situation, that, you know, we had a funky situation with the clock at the end of the half, didn't allow us to get our kickoff team on. We felt like we had spiked the ball, and they went ahead and wound the clock and couldn't get the clock stopped a second time. So that was kind of a funky situation, and we at least would have been able to get a field goal attempt off, and had the opportunity to score on 8 possessions. And so, you know, you look at it, and there were points in that game where we did some things really, really well. And there were points in the game where we didn't play well enough to win. And, you know, you give a lot of credit to our kids bouncing back from the Warren Central game to come out and hang 48 up on Lawrence North and to come out with a 10-point win against a good football team.
Coach, you had Delbert Mims have a fantastic ball game on Friday night, 34 carries, 269 yards. Talk about his importance to that victory on Friday night.
Yeah, obviously, you know, when you talk about us offensively, for us it's going to start with Delbert, you know, and he's a workhorse type of running back. He shouldered the load on Friday in a lot of different ways, you know, and there were times where we lined him up a quarterback, which we've done quite a bit this year, and just direct snapped to him and told him to go get yards, and he did that. There were times where he made some nice reads and some nice open field cuts to get himself out in the clear, and there were times where he used top-end speed to run away from their DBs. And so he showed off his skill set on Friday night. And, you know, he's got a diverse skill set as a running back. Had a great night. But conversely, we're not talking about Delbert as a running back in the yards in 269 yards if those big guys up front don't go get their job done. And, you know, I think probably the thing that stood out to me as much as our big guys up front blocking for Delbert Friday night was the way our perimeter guys blocked. You know, we challenged our wide receivers this week in a big way. Challenged them last week. We're challenging them again this week in terms of blocking on the perimeter. And you look across the board and at what Chris Peters and Adrian Reese and Dom Day and Dalen Carnell and those guys did, and Bryce Warden, what those guys did on the perimeter allowed us to spring blocks. To take a 10-yard run and make it a 15-yard run, take a 15-yard run and make it a 60-yard run. Conversely, if you're going to run the football well, there's 10 other guys that got to do their job, whether it's Trent pulling the second-level guy off by finishing the play, or whether it's our offensive line, you know, led by James Barker, Teron Thomas, Dewan Jones, Muhammad Sidibe, those four seniors up front took a lot of pride in their performance on Friday night. I felt like our offensive line kind of set the tone. And Delbert certainly rewarded those guys, you know, with a huge rushing performance. We weren't far away from breaking the school record for rushing yards in the game Friday. And so I think that's a testament to our depth. It's a testament to our offensive line. It's a testament to our effort on the perimeter.
Coach, you talk about the way the game flowed and, you know, a little bit of the controversy there at the end of the half with official winding the clock and things like that. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the officiating, but how do you deal with things like that on the sidelines that you can't control?
Well, you know, for us, and I didn't do a very good job of setting an example at times for our kids on Friday, but, you know, we talked to our kids a lot about controlling what they can control and playing the next play. And, you know, I think being a high school football official is one of the hardest jobs there is because you're outnumbered 4-1. No other sport. In tournament play, are you outnumbered 4-1 with the number of people on the field or number of people on the court? And so, yeah, you know, it's certainly a challenging task for those guys, you know, especially officiating in the MIC because it's equivalent to small college football in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it's certainly a challenging task, you know, but for us, you know, we got to make sure that we're concentrating on the things we can control. And, you know, we talk to our kids a lot about living life out the front windshield and not in the rearview mirror. And for us, you know, that's looking out the front windshield and controlling the things we can control there. If, you know, you live too long in the past, you're going to end up going through it again. You're going to end up repeating what's already happened in some respects. And so, you know, I need to do a better job setting an example because I got frustrated on Friday night. But, you know, certainly we got to do a better job making sure as a program that we're playing the next play and coaching the next play.
We're here at McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. We're talking about the Lawrence North victory last week on homecoming. Coach, you mentioned your defense defending 70 plays against the Lawrence North offense. How were you able to maybe force Lawrence North into some more passing situations than they normally would have been comfortable with on a normal night and forcing them into that spread formation?
Yeah, I felt like we played. It was one of the better games we've played as a team. You know, when you look at it, at times we've been okay defensively, not as good offensively, or we've been really good offensively, and defensively we've struggled to get stops at times or to get the ball back to our offense at times. I felt like as a team we were helping each other out, you know, quite a bit. We'd get a stop, our offense would go down and score, and you know, so we just wanted to, you know, when you go back and look at the first two scores of the game. You know, we score, kick the PAT, go up 7. Lawrence North scores, goes for 2, gets it. You know, we told ourselves we weren't going to chase the point, but, you know, we ended up trying to get it back early and then missed our first 2-point conversion. But, you know, I never felt like we had any panic on our sideline. I always felt like our kids were really locked into going and playing the next play for the most part. And, you know, I felt like we got stops when we needed to get stops, and I felt like our offense then rewarded our defense for getting that stop. You know, by going down and getting a score, getting a lead, and then our defense was in a hurry to get the ball back for the offense. So I felt like our team fluidity was there. We were certainly locked into doing things the Ben Davis way, and playing good team football, and that's getting stops and trying to get points.
At the same time, you mentioned you had some getting stops. However, you look at the last 2 weeks, you've given up a total of 108 points between the Lawrence North and Warren Central games. What concerns or how do you change the points allowed total in terms of getting that back toward where you'd like to see it?
Well, we got to quit giving up explosives. When you look at it, Jeff, you know, there were 17 plays of 10 or more yards against Lawrence North. There were more than that against Warren. And so, you know, we got to look at being more disciplined in executing our responsibility. And we can't be feast or famine. You know, the one thing we did defensively that was different on Friday is we tried to mix coverage more. We tried to bring a little bit more pressure, things that we had not done early in the season and felt like it matched our player skill set a little bit. You know, our kids certainly showed signs of being successful with those things. But at the same time, you know, we got to have some awareness on the back end if we're going to do that. And we got to be able to make plays. And, you know, that I think that's where we've struggled the last 2 weeks in terms of giving up 108 points is, you know, when that opportunity is there to go make a play, we got to make sure that we're making it and we're not giving it up. And, you know, the other team's coach, the other team has good players too. And that's the nature of coaching and playing in this conference is you're going to run up against good competition. But, you know, we also have to make sure that when those opportunities present themselves for us to go make a play, we got to go make it. And that's where we got to get better.
Fair to say that maybe some of your defense is still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah, no question. You know, we're going into game seven. We're going to start our seventh different secondary. And so we're still looking for the right pieces to that puzzle back there. We're gonna have a different starter and inside linebacker, and you know we're a work in progress in terms of trying to find the right puzzle pieces or the right pieces to the puzzle, if you will. Certainly believe in the guys that we're playing, or we wouldn't be playing them. But we got to continue to grow and get better every week. And I think defensively, we have to concentrate on making the plays that are there to be made. And some of it's scheme, you know, in terms of fitting the run the right way. Some of it's in the passing game, you know, having ball awareness and going to making a play on the ball. You know, we can't be afraid to go make a play in the secondary. When that ball's in the air, it's just as much ours as it is theirs. And so, you know, we've certainly worked on those things. We've tried to mix some things up in practice this week, you know, to get our kids a little bit more locked into that. And we just got to continue to work and continue to coach and get better every day.
I'm good, Grant.
Alrighty. We're here at McDonald's on West 10th Street, and Coach, I want to squeeze this question in before we go to break here. We're six games through of the Indiana high school football season. Really hard to believe that we're already over halfway through the season, but when you look back from last night's game all the way to week one in the win against Tech, you know, what have you seen from your team, and what maybe do you have to improve upon heading up for these next 3 weeks?
Yeah, when you look ahead to the last third of the regular season, it's hard to believe how fast it's gone. You know, there are certainly some specific areas of growth that we need to continue to get better at. You know, we need to get better at communicating on the defensive side of the ball. We need to make sure that, you know, we get better in fitting the run game with our second and third level defenders. I think on the offensive side of the ball, we have to make sure that we have better awareness in the passing game with our route running. We got to continue to fundamentally, I think, get better. I think this is a point in the year where, you know, it's easy for a coach to take a step back on fundamentals and not emphasize those as much in practice. I think the teams that transition through this time of the year and win championships in November are the ones that stay committed to developing fundamentals, while still making sure that you get your game plan work in throughout the week.
All right, this is the first half of Inside Ben Davis Football. We're here at the McDonald's on West 10th Street. We're going to take a quick break, and we will come back, and we'll talk the matchup against Carmel this week as the Ben Davis Giants travel to Carmel this Friday night. So we'll come back in 1 minute here on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Culver's has a selection of Butterburgers, fries, fish, and chicken. Culver's also offers a variety of soups, salads, kids' meals, desserts, and frozen custard. Culver's is located just off Rockville Road and can be reached at 463-202-2085 and on the web at culvers.com. WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Seriously 24/7 is a supporter of this WBDG sports broadcast on Giant 90.9. Seriously 24/7 offers residential plumbing, drain cleaning, sewer repair and replacement, remodels, water softeners, and well repairs. Located in Brownsburg at 124 East Northfield Drive, suite number 256, Seriously 24/7 can be reached at 317-501-4964. Hours of operation are Seriously 24/7. WBDG thanks Seriously 24/7 for their support of the sports broadcast.
We're back here at the McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football alongside Jeff Robinson, John Eastern of Coach, and of course Coach Simmons. Let's look ahead to this week's matchup, the Carmel Greyhounds. You go up to Carmel. They're coming off a win over North Central in three overtimes. Coach, just take me through what you got to do to prepare yourselves to go play this Carmel team who just had a big victory over North Central.
Yeah, they had a huge victory on the road in the MIC. A battle of top, I think, six or seven. I think both teams were in the top six or seven going into last week's game. And you watch the game, they were two evenly matched teams. North Central made some big plays in the special teams, had two long kickoff returns, one for a touchdown, one to the plus 35 or plus 40 area. So they certainly utilized their playmakers to create some big plays against Carmel. But, you know, when you look at Coach Hebert, he's got a really good football team. He's an excellent football coach. He's been ingrained in Carmel football for a long, long time. You know, he's been a part of a lot of successes at Carmel High School as a defense coordinator and the head coach. And, you know, I think with Carmel, their brand starts with that defensive side of the ball. They run a 3-4 scheme. They've morphed that 3-4 scheme over the years, and they'll show you some 4-man fronts out of it. Have established a pressure package over the last several years. It's a team that I'm really familiar with, having played them at least twice a year at Noblesville in the 5 years I was there. So I think we played them 7 times in 5 years, and so we've seen a lot of them here recently. But they've morphed, they've developed a 7-man pressure package that's pretty intense, where they bring people from a couple different angles, and you really got to be alert to it. They're really solid across the board. They have playmakers at all three levels of their defense. You know, when you look at Bo Robbins up front, he's an Indiana commit. You got Joey Schmidt and Ty Weiss, the two outside linebackers, are really sound, fundamental football players that are aggressive and make plays for them. And they got some guys on the back end that do a really nice job. Both their safeties are returning starters, and so they have experience. They have depth. They are well rooted in their scheme. And you have to pick your spots, and you have to go beat them. You know, from an offensive perspective, you have to be precise in what you do to get yards. Offensively, they have found their identity with the run game, and they do not get away from it. They utilize their run game and to set up the play action post route. They'll throw some RPO bubbles off of it, throw some flat routes off of it as well, some play action stuff. But their offense starts and ends with their run game, and they do a really nice job of spreading carries out throughout their stable of backs. I feel like their quarterback has done a nice job managing their offense, but making plays. He can extend plays with his legs. In the passing game, he's done a nice job getting out of the pocket. He did it against North Central. He's done it against everybody they've played. He's gotten out of the pocket and extended plays, and where you may think you have him pinned, or you may think your pass rush is going to get home, he'll find a way out of the pocket and go scramble for 10 yards and move the chains, and now you're resetting and trying to line up and get ready to go play some inside zone or some power out of it. So, you know, they're a very formidable opponent again this week. They've done a nice job establishing the run against everybody they've played. They use some different personnel groupings and different formations to do that. They have a couple of Miami of Ohio commits on the offensive side of the ball. Their tight end and their left guard are both Miami of Ohio commits. Those guys are physical run blockers. Their offensive line is probably as solid a group as we've seen this year. They do a nice job in their scheme of moving people and of finishing plays. And so, you know, we're going to have our hands full this week for sure. It's a top 10. It's another top 10 game for this group. And so, you know, the exciting thing is, this isn't our first rodeo anymore. You know, we talked about it week two, first top 10 game for this group of kids. But, you know, we've been through it now. We've been through it. This will be our fourth one, and we're certainly in a different place as a football team going into this one.
Whenever you look at Carmel coming off of such a dramatic win, going the three overtimes like they did, and obviously playing – a mixed schedule just like Ben Davis. Talk about the difficulties for a team like Carmel coming off of such a big win like that and having then to face a team the caliber of Ben Davis.
Yeah, I think if we're flipping head coaching roles right now and I'm John Hebert, You certainly got to rely on your senior leadership to get your guys refocused and ready to go. And you know, when you look at their senior leaders, they've been through enough big games in their career that, you know, they've made this transition before. They've made this transition from playing one big opponent to the next. And I would expect them to be no different this time around. You know, they have a lot of flight hours back with their returning starters on both sides of the ball that know what they're getting into. They've had guys play. They've had a lot of guys playing a lot of different games over the years, and so, you know, for them, I wouldn't expect a letdown at all from them. You know, I don't know where it falls in the homecoming, but you always get in these in this middle of the season. You know, where it's always, you know, you never know if you're going to be a 20-minute halftime or not because it's homecoming or senior night. We're at that point in the year, and so, you know, I'm sure it'll be a big game for them. They when the weather's right, they always have a tremendous following and tremendous crowd support up there. And so it's going to be a great environment to go play in. It's going to be a great environment to take our kids up 31 and to go give a shot here.
Coach, as you look at the rivalry between Carmel and Ben Davis, it's about as dead even as it can get looking back over time. It's 22-21 Ben Davis. I know you've been a part of several of these games as an assistant coach here at BD, but what does it mean to take on Carmel? You know, there are certain programs that don't need any explanation when you're talking about Indiana high school football. Luckily, we get to broadcast one of them every week here on Giant 90.9 with Ben Davis, but when you say Carmel, that carries a lot of weight. What's it like to go up against just that program over the years and all the history associated with it?
Well, I think, you know, for us, it's the next big game. And, you know, we've talked to our kids about that this week. You know, last week I felt like Lawrence North was the biggest game on our schedule because it was the next one. And, you know, you look at Carmel and, you know, there are some true blue bloods in the state of Indiana when it comes to football programs, and Carmel's certainly one of those. And, you know, it's just like you said, though, John, we're fortunate to be a part of one of those true blue bloods here at Ben Davis. And so, you know, for us, it's the next big game. We're sitting at 3-3 overall. We certainly want the opportunity to go make a statement and as a football program, to show that we can go on the road and put a game together here and work to go get a win in the MIC on the road. And, you know, that's our goal this week. And so we haven't talked a lot about playing Carmel overall. We've talked about the discipline and the detailed-oriented attack that we're going to need to have to go beat a team that does what they do. And that's not arrogance on their part. They have a system that fits their program, and they coach to that system, and they execute to that system really well. And so we've talked to our kids about being very detailed in our approach and executing with a great deal of discipline.
We're here at Inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. Coach, you know, this Carmel game, how important is it going to be for your team to come out and get ahead early so you're not chasing points like you were for a little bit on Friday night after Lawrence North went up 8-7?
Yeah, I think the important thing for us is to make sure that we get out of the gate quickly, whether that's in scoring points or getting stops. We have to make sure that we keep the margin in a spot that we're comfortable, if you will. You know, when you go back, you know, 2 weeks to the Warren Central game, you know, game was 21-0 in a hurry, and you get down 21-0, it just changes your thought process, it changes your level of patience, you know, and you start to get out of character a little bit. And so for us, it's about establishing a routine, establishing a rhythm, and making sure that we work to stay ahead of the chains. I think that's a big thing. You know, for us, when we've gone back now as a staff over the last 6 weeks and we've looked at it, when we've won first down on both sides of the ball 50% of the time or more, it's led to success for us in a football game, whether that's success in that half, that quarter, that drive, whatever it may be. So for us, it's about staying on the right side of the chains and staying on the side of the chains that we want to be. And that's not giving up yards on first down, and that's winning first down. And so that's been a huge emphasis for us.
You went into last week practice really needing a victory after a couple of tough losses there. You got that victory on Friday night. What has been the mood with the players now that you're back on a winning or coming off a win and going into this Carmel game?
I think our players understand the urgency of where we're at and what we represent as a program. And you know, we've had that conversation. Like, the expectation is to play Ben Davis football day in and day out, not just try and show up and expect to play Ben Davis football on Friday. The teams that have had success at Ben Davis, the teams that have won championships at Ben Davis, are teams that have been unbelievably competitive day in and day out. They are teams that have taken a great deal of pride in putting on that Ben Davis jersey every single day, and they're teams that love to compete. And that's been our emphasis this week. It's not about feeling good about ourselves because we got to win on Friday against Lawrence North. It's about getting back to work and understanding that the next game on our schedule is the most important game. And for us, we have to make sure that we continue to compete and we continue to work to get better every single day, and not being content with being 3-3 and not being content with a 10-point win over Lawrence North.
Have you noticed differences in the way your team is approaching this week of practice?
Yeah, I feel like we had a good Monday yesterday. I felt like we left some things out there today. We had some parts of practice that certainly could have been a lot better. And so we worked to address that as a coaching staff today, and certainly expect our kids to bounce back and have a better Wednesday tomorrow. When you play a team like Carmel, you do have to be detailed in your attack, and you do have to have a good plan, and you do have to be disciplined in your attack. And really, you have 4 days, and that's really every team in the MIC. There are some that you have to be a little bit more conscious of than others, but I think Carmel is one of those. And so we have 4 days. Now we have two left to prep, and so we have to make sure that we are completely locked in tomorrow, so we can continue to grow and get better as a team.
You know, Coach, you kind of talked about the blue bloods of Indiana high school football. And then also there in that answer, you talked about playing Ben Davis football and maybe from the outside people having a certain expectation of Ben Davis every year that may be unattainable some years because of who Ben Davis is. How much does the name Ben Davis carry with the kids? How much do they connect back to the history of the program? Because, you know, I as someone who has been around a lot of the championship teams, not all of them, but I can connect back to the 1991 team. To them, you know, that's ancient history. They weren't even born. So how do you go about connecting that?
You know, I think when you there's a lot of different ways to go try and connect it. For us, we've done a couple different things this year, John, and I think you bring up a good point. You know, when we make reference to the Wall of Fame that our guys walk by every day walking in the locker room. When you walk into our locker room every day, you're going to walk by one of two things. You're going to walk by 8 state championship pictures because they haven't put the 2017 team up yet, or you're going to walk by the Wall of Fame. And if you're blind enough or naive enough just to walk by those and not truly absorb what those mean to this program, you're probably missing the boat a little bit. And then when you take that field every day and you see nine sets of numbers on the north end zone wall, you know, that tells a story. And so for us, we've tried to make reference to those, to what, you know, representing Ben Davis football truly means, and what those nine state championships mean, and what the people have done to pave the way for our guys now. And the other thing that we've done is we've tried to bring back as many players as we can. You know, we have an open door policy of practice. You know, you look at Darren Graham, who was a terrific player, Ben Davis All-State player, went down to Indiana University and played. And Darren was at practice today. We had Marlon McDowell, who played for us in 2011, 12, 13, in that time frame, went on to St. Francis and played. Marlon was back on Friday to talk to our guys. We consistently, Brock Thompson was back. We consistently have guys. Sir Zion was back on Friday. And so, you know, I think it's important for our guys to be able to connect. And one way that they can connect is with all the alums that come back and want to be around it, want to be a part and still want to be a part of the program. And, you know, whether it's past players, past coaches, I think it's important for our kids to be around those people, because the more conversations you have, the more you're going to absorb it and own it moving forward.
All right, Coach, you headed into this Carmel game. If you had to pull one thing that you have to do right against this Carmel team on Friday, what would it be? And your final message to the fans and how you get them out to make the trip up to Carmel?
Yeah, I think the one thing we have to do is we have to execute well across the board, whether that's in the kicking game, whether it's offensively, whether it's defensively. And it sounds cliche-ish, but it's so true. You got to make sure you take care of the little things against a team like Carmel. because they don't, you turn the film on, they don't beat themselves. You know, and for the fans, we want you to continue to stay with us here. You know, we talked about it last week. We had a great homecoming crowd. The weather was great. Weather's projected to be great on this Friday. Just stay with us. Keep supporting our guys because, you know, our guys are showing up to work every day. They're taking a great deal of pride in Ben Davis football, and they're going to continue to do that. And, you know, they're certainly working, and they're worthy of the support from the fans.
All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to John Easter back in the studio running the controls this evening. Thanks to Jeff Robinson, of course, and, of course, Coach Simmons. This week's episode of Inside Ben Davis Football will be uploaded to audioboom.com. Search WBDGFM there to find it as well. The Giants travel to take on the Carmel Greyhounds, a big rivalry game for the Ben Davis Giants and the Carmel Greyhounds. Coverage at 6 p.m. with kickoff at 7. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and have a great evening. This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.